Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, so I send you. Amen. Amen. So, wow. I mean, just wow. Easter at Grace with you was such a beautiful, powerful day, right? The music, the bells, the laughter, the sermon. It wasn't me. That cross covered in flowers by children, the defiant joy. To be honest, that might have been the most powerful Easter day I have experienced in my adult life. Maybe. Maybe because after the few weeks we had had together, and after the most intense Holy Week of my life, I really needed it. I really needed Easter. And yet, I felt so unprepared, so not ready to sing Alleluia, so deeply still in Good Friday, so disconnected from a sense of resurrection, I wasn't even certain I could do it. I was afraid. I was afraid I couldn't do it. Sometimes it takes a village to witness resurrection. And thank God, the village showed up. I showed up. You showed up and they showed up, and I am certain that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, showed up. Jesus always shows up. Whenever the village gathers, Jesus just shows up. This week, the second Sunday of Easter, Jesus shows up to the gathered disciples in the upper room where they are locked away in fear. Fear. Nothing can lock us away quite like fear can. Fear can immobilize us, cause us to lock the doors and sit motionless, desperately trying to find proof of what we should do next, what we should do next that will keep us safe and protected. Fear. So these disciples, being afraid, locked the doors and sat motionless in fear, but Jesus, even though the door was locked, showed up. Jesus just walks through the locked doors of their fear and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." You see, friends, the opposite of fear is not security. The opposite of fear is peace. Security is the outcome of certainty. Peace, however, is the outcome of deep and abiding faith. The opposite of fear is not security. The opposite of fear is peace. Peace be with you. The disciples, however, are still seeking certainty, security. They want proof. Proof that they are safe. Proof that Jesus didn't die for nothing. Proof that they didn't leave everything for a madman. Proof that they won't be hung on that cross next. And that makes sense. Nobody wants to be crucified. Nobody wants to live a life fearing the empire all around them. Nobody wants that. And so they are looking for their next move that will create some security, some sense of safety in that very dangerous world of empire. But Jesus shows up for them and says, "Peace be with you." And it is written in this gospel we read today, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." To be honest, I get stuck in these last lines of this gospel, I'm like, okay, so Jesus did many other signs that are not written. I don't know about you, but my curiosity takes over, like, well, what exactly did Jesus do that isn't written? I imagine Jesus in this story kind of like a magician. What were his many signs that were not written? Maybe he pulled a rabbit out of a hat. I see his arms outstretched, pulling a brightly colored scarf out of his robe sleeve, and all of the disciples in unison going, oh! Or maybe he put Peter in a black box, and then he taps it with his hand, and he opens the door, and Peter is gone. I mean, after what Peter did to Jesus, I seriously doubt any of them would have been very surprised by that little trick. Doubt. Sometimes we human people need a lot of proof to believe what is right before our eyes. Sometimes we want a lot of signs before we are willing to leave our upper rooms. Sometimes we seek certainty before we are willing to unlock the doors of our fears that have immobilized us and go where we are called to go. And so there is good news on the second Sunday of Easter, and it is this. We are not alone in our response to resurrection. We are not alone in our fear or our doubting or our seeking certainty. The disciples were there too. And guess what? Jesus showed up even in the midst of all of that for them. And the good news is this. Jesus will do the same for us. That is good news, people. Really good news. Peace be with you, he says. Peace. Even in the midst of doubt and fear, we are offered peace. This peace isn't a prize that we get for being good believers or good disciples or good Christians. Peace is not a prize we get for being good. Peace is available to us all the time when we let the Holy Spirit in. Peace, not proof, is what will move us to unlock the doors of our fears and go where we are called to go. So when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Receive the Holy Spirit. As my Father sent me, I send you." And that's it, folks. Receive the Holy Spirit and go out and forgive people. Because people really need and want to be forgiven. Archbishop Desmond Tutu defined forgiveness as the capacity to make a new start. Tutu says, "Forgiveness is the grace by which we enable the other person to get up and get up with dignity, to begin anew. In the act of forgiveness," he says, "we are declaring our faith in the future of relationship and in the capacity of people to change." Forgiveness is the act of declaring our faith in the capacity of people to change. If anyone in our recent history can speak to the act of forgiveness, it is Desmond Tutu. And he did. His whole life was a response to this gospel we hear today. Receive the Holy Spirit, go out and forgive. Archbishop Tutu spent his whole life fighting apartheid in South Africa, standing up against empire, and supporting those on the front lines, the village of people fighting for freedom. And he spent his life supporting his friend and co-conspirator Nelson Mandela, an innocent man who was put behind bars in prison for 27 years of his life for advocating for liberation from empire, who was then freed from prison and became president of that very country. Mandela believed even in the capacity of empire to change. Mandela went on to be president, and Archbishop Tutu went on to preach forgiveness. Through the Truth and Reconciliation Project, as my Father sent me, I send you. Forgiveness, the capacity to make a new start, a declaration of our faith that people can change. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Sometimes fear can immobilize us so much that having faith in a new start, or that people have the capacity to change, can be very difficult. Sometimes so difficult we lock ourselves away, and when we do that, we retain the sins of others. We retain those sins and they become our sins. Sin is toxic. Sin destroys. Sin divides us. And we cannot be about the work of forgiveness without first being about the work of telling the truth about sin. Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus says, "Peace be with you." We do not know for certain that people will change. We do not know for certain that anything will become new. We do not speak the truth or forgive because we are certain of this. We speak the truth and forgive because we have faith. We forgive because Jesus said, "As my Father sent me, I send you." We forgive each other because retaining sin will divide us. We speak truth and forgive each other because that is the way new things have the space and energy to spring forth. We forgive because we follow a God who sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save it so that all can have life and have it abundantly. Judgment is not our work. Forgiveness and love, that is our work. In the Truth and Reconciliation Project, every time a victim of apartheid told the truth of the crimes they experienced, every time an offender of crime told the truth of their sinful action, no one was for certain that forgiveness would follow, but they spoke truth anyway. What courage to speak truth with no certainty of the outcome. How brave victim and offender alike were. What faith it took for Archbishop Tutu to create this path for forgiveness and healing. Peace be with you. The opposite of fear is not security. The opposite of fear is peace. As I think about the disciples in the upper room locked away in fear, I am asking myself, what fear keeps me from speaking truth and forgiving others? What fears have me immobilized, unable to be sent forth to do the work God calls me to do? I am asking myself, do I really receive the peace Jesus offers? Easter is a season. And yes, that day was glorious, but more glorious still is the moment each of us makes the brave and courageous choice to receive the peace of Jesus, to speak truth and to forgive. How brave and courageous it is to have faith that we can make a new start. And that people have the capacity to change. How brave it is to speak truth and forgive. How brave it is to go where we are sent. How brave and courageous it is to leave our upper rooms of fear, even with no certainty, even leaving security behind. And what good news that we don't have to go alone. Sometimes it takes a village to witness resurrection, and sometimes it takes a village to unlock the doors of the upper room, to have that kind of courage and bravery to go where we are sent. So my Father sent me, I send you. Sometimes it takes a village. And what defiant joy comes from being a part of that kind of village. What good news that Jesus always shows up and offers us peace. Now let us receive it. Amen.